is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Our final day with Jay Mars.
Yay.
And, can't say why yet, but... Congratulations, I'll say that.
Thank you.
It's been fun, my man. It really has. Christopher Laud will be in mornings starting tomorrow at 6 a.m. Tune in for that. It's good to end things on this note. Yesterday, Jay and I had one of our many disagreements that were extremely passionate. Should the Sacramento Kings bring back the King Dog? The vote is
I forgot about this.
A lot of votes on this one. And actually still almost 2 hours left to vote. 74% of people say the King Dog should return.
That's not true.
I'm telling you. 74%.
This is why this city can never move forward with anything.
I said it's going to be between 60 and 80.
We have 74. We have
Fan base, Jay.
We have such an amazing selection of food at the Golden One Center,
right?
But that's
what I told you. No one's saying take it away. No one's saying don't do that.
What I'm saying is, though, of all that, all we got is, what did they just bring the darn King Dog back? Yo, it's just a jumbo hot dog. It wasn't that serious.
No, but that's the thing. This is what, I love what the Kings have been doing.
Bring back the King Dog.
But let's just have some real talk for a second. Like we talked about yesterday. No one's going to a game for some Michelin star food. Now they'll partake.
Why not?
Because that's not what they're there for. They're there to watch a game. If you want to go.
Have you been to a game with my significant other?
If you want to. Yes. yes. And guess what? I'm the one waiting in the nacho line for her.
Appreciate that, by the way.
I'm the one waiting. Exactly. If I want to go have a nice dinner, I'm gonna hit up Fuddruckers or Happy Steak, okay, or Sizzler, but I'm going to the game. Watch the game
with your King Dog,
my King Dog,
and your root beer and your popcorn,
right? Yes, and maybe a pretzel.
Oh, wow.
I'm not trying to eat duck fat fries. Now, I know some people
Duck fat fries with a brat on a pretzel bun.
Let me tell you something, dude.
Greater than sign your basic ass King Dog.
The problem is that most of the people doing the duck fat fries and the gourmet dog, they're eating free food in the Lexus Lounge.
No, they're not. That's upstairs, second level.
Just saying, dude.
Shout out Lowbrow.
From the 916 King Dog guy is the same guy saying keep politics out of sports. I'm King Dog guy. And I'm all for it. I want more politics in sports. Bring
more
it
politics,
all
more King Dogs.
Yes. What's wrong with y'all? Anyway, there's nothing wrong with y'all because 7.5 out of 10 people want the King Dog to return.
Can I tell you why I hate this whole thing? Because I know you well enough to know you are going to screenshot that poll and send that to people in the know, like, hey guys, doing some market research for the team next year, and with welcoming fans back, I think this would be a great opportunity, not just for the Kings to show that they truly care about the community, but it's a great way to make money as well. Sound about right?
I'm just saying, if the King Dog makes return next year, don't blame
You're
me.
Welcome.
Or yeah, you're welcome. Soundgarden right now.
Soundgarden.
Soundgarden.
The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today.
Soundgarden.
It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
Can I have a 50 piece? Sorry, I will put you. Can I put your camera? Do you mind or no?
Sure.
There's 150,000 people watching you right now.
Really?
Yes. So can I have, please, a 50-piece Mac Minis, 50 exactly,
okay.
Not 51, not 49, chicken minis, yes, 50. And let me have a large drink, no ice, half Sprite, half lemonade.
By the way,
Giannis not ordering King Dogs.
I was just going to say the opposite. Notice Giannis isn't ordering duck fat fries at a bratwurst. He's ordering nuggets.
Because he's at a chicken restaurant.
Right, notice that's where he went. You know where he didn't go? Some nice place. You don't see him at Denny's.
Wow, you hate Chick-fil-A. I did not know that.
I'm just saying, Chick-fil-A is not a Michelin star restaurant like Denny's.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we got that right.
He's not in the drive-thru ordering moons over Miami.
No.
He's with the common people ordering nugs.
You're not going to find him in an upscale establishment like Caro's.
No. Perkins.
No Mel's for Giannis.
Also,
could you imagine him hobnobbing it with the upper class at IHOP?
No, of course he's not going to do that. He's not in the country kitchen. By the way, one of the biggest debates I ever had with any Kings executive ever, and I just remembered it. I forgot the story because I could never say it on the air, but now he's left, so he's in Detroit. The lovely and talented Christopher Granger, the former team president, and I. We went back and forth so hard because I was begging him to have an all-you-can-eat section.
Jesus, David.
Where you had the gourmet food for the gourmet food people, but then people like me could pay the money and do the wristband like they do at some other stadiums, and you get all the hot dogs and popcorns and sodas you want.
I'm going to ask you a serious question that's going to come off like a joke, but I'm dead serious. You've proposed like food committees to them, haven't you?
I'm not saying I haven't. I am saying that I might have been instrumental in getting the butter on one of the concourse popcorn stands. This is my wheelhouse.
I may have been instrumental. I drove an RV to save the team and get butter on the concourse.
Listen, I'm just speaking for the people, man. It's not me.
Sacramento versus everybody. And you are
That's
Sacramento.
The shirt. And you know what everybody is? Duck fat fries.
Whoa. I just got labeled as an everybody, and I'm not sure how I feel about that.
You are a food snob.
I am a food snob. Okay. I'll take that.
Right. As long as you're honest.
You and the basics have your king dog. That's fine.
Okay, stick me over with the peasant food.
Yes.
All right, you guys have your quiche or whatever. I like quiche.
I'm not a quiche guy.
No, I love quiche. Number two.
Soundgarden.
I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. It'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance to have Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. In my mind, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing. And at the same time, let me go prove to the team that did bet on me and the team that really showed that they really wanted me and committed to me that I'm not going to let them down.
Dude,
I
love this.
Really admire the ability to have more than a hand's worth of Super Bowl rings, to be 74 years old
on Sunday
and still play the game with a chip on your shoulder that started at the draft and the combine and has worked its way through. And he's still saying, oh, a lot of y'all didn't sign me. Great. Well,
I love that he can just openly, without even saying it, but basically saying it like, I'm Michael Jordan. I'm Wayne Gretzky. Would you tell Michael Jordan no? Nah. Wayne Gretzky wants to sign with you? What are you saying to him? Probably yes. And me? The Wayne Gretzky, the Michael Jordan of football? You're telling no? Screw you, man.
Is Tom Brady God level in that comment? Because not only his main point was that he has a chip on his shoulder, people didn't believe in him, and he's trying to prove people wrong, yet at the same time, completely slipped in the self-comparison to Wayne Gretzky.
That's my point.
Dude, it's just awesome.
The two goats of those sports, or at least perceived. I don't think there's an argument for Gretzky. Jordan, man, we don't need to go down that road. But yeah, he just put himself in the goat conversation just very casually.
Our next clip is Marshawn Lynch announcing the first pick for the NHL expansion, Seattle Kraken.
Soundgarden.
Marshawn, take it away.
Let's see, so with the this the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yup, Cali Yarncrow.
Cali Yarncrow.
You just heard it. Cali Yarncrow to the Kraken from Beast Mode himself. Thank you so much, as always. Appreciate you.
Hey, and look, Cali, if I didn't pronounce it right, tap in with me and let me know how to do it the right way, big dog.
You heard it from him.
Straight up.
You heard it from him directly.
I think Marshawn should do every draft for now on for any sport.
I love, you see, there's two ways to go with this. There's making fun of Marshawn Lynch for not being able to pronounce a name. That's not what we're doing. It's laughing with Marshawn Lynch because he's just going to say what he says mm-hmm. and he does not care. And I love him and I love how real he is. I would love to see Marshawn. I have never in my life once listened to an NHL radio broadcast. But if the Seattle Kraken had special guest analyst Marshawn Lynch on their radio call and he was going to really try to talk about some of the players, I would listen. Because much like the what was the network that did the Jake Paul fights originally? When they had Snoop Dogg and everybody in the booth.
Triller.
Like, you bring that personality in, and it makes it fun.
Yeah.
And Marshawn's a fun dude.
Marshawn's the best because in a lot of those situations, whoever is doing that, whoever the athlete is, like, they're going to prep. They're going to make sure they got the name right. I guarantee you the first time he looked at that name was when he literally announced it. Like, he had 100%. No idea who he was announcing. He was just like, all right, whatever.
Boy Cali?
Yes.
I forget what it was, but did you ever watch? Didn't he have a show or something where he like went and did different things? He was like yes. in Scotland and all that.
Dude, yeah. It was amazing.
Please Marshawn bring that is the back. Best. Did you ever see Marshawn Lynch and Bear Grylls do the Bear Grylls show, the survival mm-hmm. show? I will send you the link.
It's the best thing
it
ever.
It is comedy. Marshawn Lynch surviving with Bear Grylls in the wild. Is some of the best comedy I've ever seen in my life. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Three for madness, but I can tell you right now it's going to be two questions. It's going to be two questions because we're going to talk about the Olympics. We're going to talk about issues the Olympics has. We're going to talk about the importance or lack thereof of the Olympics. All next.
1, 2, 3.
It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
Sam Amick will join us at 8:05.
Wait, we got a Sam Amick doubleheader this week?
Yeah, because he flaked on us last week.
Right.
I was on a plane.
I was hanging out with my friend Giannis, ordering a 50-piece.
Right.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Didn't bring you guys any. Thanks, Sam. Good looking out.
We'll recap the finals with him, talk about both the Bucks and the
Suns.
And then, hey, serious question.
Sure.
Has Sam done even the most basic research on the NBA draft?
Of course. NBA draft expert Sam Amick.
Sam, one of 11 people allowed to vote for the finals MVP. He said he voted for Giannis in the third quarter.
My question, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Oh, do I?
Hey.
Dare I say, I'm going to grill Sam on that.
Find charcoal or gas?
Gas.
Yeah, correct. And you can go to cinch.com if you need gas for that. CYNCH, promo code Dave. Find out what Jay's question is at 8:05. In the meantime... For the final time this week, Three for Madness with Jay Mars.
The Olympics. They open tomorrow.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
I am excited.
Yeah.
And I'm like one of three people.
You got your music ready? Let's fade this down. Let's get our Olympic music for this Three for Madness. It's very apropos.
How can you not be excited? How can you not be excited for the Olympics? And you know the thing is, Jay. We need the Olympics right now, in my opinion. Now, I understand, and I'm not immune to, no pun intended, the whole COVID. But they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying COVID or no COVID, you can argue to me that they shouldn't be happening because of COVID. And I got you. I hear you. But the Olympics, peace, love, athletics... You know, this is why the Olympics were created, to bring people together. And I wouldn't mind a bunch of good old-fashioned patriotism in this country. And no, I don't mean the patriotism where we call traitriotism, where you got to fly the flags and all that. I'm talking about everyone coming together, politics aside, USA, USA, let's root for the
Let's kick red,
white, and blue.
Let's kick everybody's you-know-what in every sport.
Yes.
We don't lose in sport.
Right.
It's the one thing that bonds us together.
One thing that bonds us
sports
together.
Sports and politics.
We may vote differently, but damn it, we win.
We root for Michael Phelps the same.
That's right. Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, one of those other
Green
weird
Party.
Parties. Yeah, I don't know. All rooting for the Michael Phelpses of the world. We're all rooting for Simone Biles. We're all rooting for someone else that's in the Olympics. I can't remember.
Kevin Durant.
Well, maybe not.
Todd Frazier's in the Olympics.
Oh, there you go. Todd Frazier. I'm excited. I'm excited. And it's just so weird to find the differences in people and how they view things. Wife and I were watching TV yesterday. Oh, by the way, halfway through Castaway. She'd never seen that. We're knocking that out. We also added...
Wait, she's never seen Castaway?
She's never seen Castaway.
Dude, I've seen Castaway.
I
saw it in the theater.
We added Castaway to the list, which I immediately said we've got to watch. And we added Big Trouble in Little China with Kurt Russell. She'd never seen
great
that.
Movie.
That's a cult. Yeah. Classic.
I don't even know if it's a cult classic.
But
I think it's just a classic at this point.
I insisted on watching that. So, anyways.
I'm excited for the Olympics for one reason, by the way.
What?
Karate's in the Olympics for the first time
love
this
it.
Year. Already got the YouTube TV DVR set for all the coverage, friend.
We're DVRing everything. She's going to watch the, she wants to watch the, she said the opening ceremonies are her favorite part. I said, yeah, you know, it's pretty cool. I'm very excited to see what they do over in Japan as far as production and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, yeah, I don't really like all that other stuff. I just like watching them walk around the track.
Oh, exciting.
And I was like, hold on. That's the worst part of the opening ceremony to me is where they're walking around. That's the boring part where they're introducing the countries. I want to see the things falling from the sky and the neon rings and all that. She goes, yeah, I don't care about that. I want the stories. She goes, I don't really care that much about the events. I just want to know their stories.
She wants the depth.
And I went, wow, that is one target audience, and I'm the other target audience. Good on you, NBC. Number two.
All right, we're just going to now keep that bed going. I'm just going to ask the question.
Oh, okay. Just ask the question.
The opening ceremony director was fired yesterday.
Yeah.
You hear about this? Read about this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are they continuing this absolute mess?
Let me give you the background here. Seiko Hashimoto, the organizing committee president, said a day ahead of the opening ceremony, director Kentaro Kobayashi. Wasn't Kobayashi the same name in Usual Suspects?
Also the hot dog world champion guy for a long time.
Well, that's...
it's Kobayashi.
Was it Kobayashi?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, he has been fired.
They weren't king dogs, by the way, I'm told.
Did you... you know, I'm going to go ahead and stop this music for a good reason.
Okay.
Did you hear why he was fired?
I sure did.
Yeah. because of a Holocaust joke that he made. Now, this was back in 98, but there's video, and he did it as part of a comedy show. Now, I just give a little bit of advice to everyone. Now, you know, regardless of my background personally, whether I'm half Jewish, doesn't matter. This, I think, is a universal piece of advice. I like jokes. I like joking about things. I like dark humor. I like Anthony Jeselnik's comedy from time to time. Different. It's awesome. Sometimes comedy helps us cope.
Sure.
You cannot ever joke about the Holocaust. Ever.
10 times out of 10, it goes wrong.
1 billion times out of a billion times, it goes wrong. Just joke about a lot of things.
Leave that one alone.
Leave the Holocaust alone. Well, that happened. And it's not the first scandal. Bribes paid to the IOC to influence the vote for Tokyo. The fallout forced the resignation 2 years ago of Tsunekazu Takeda, who headed the Japanese Olympic Committee. There's just a whole thing, a whole list. Why are these Olympics continuing? It's the political piece, the coming together of everyone, the
money. Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
Well, you see, Jay, the official cost of the Olympics is $15.4 billion, but government audits are showing that it's much more. All but $6.7 billion of that money, all of it, is public money. And they do say these Olympics are going on in part because of pressure from the International Olympic Committee, which would be estimated to face losses, I'm talking about the Olympic Committee, of $3 to $4 billion in television rights income if the games were not held.
Money, God. Something in the studio.
Also this week, the chiropractor for the American women's wrestling team apologized after comparing Olympic COVID-19 protocols to, wait for it,
oh, here it comes,
Nazi Germany.
How did I know there was going to be a tie?
What's behind door number three? The Nazi Germany joke. Or, excuse me, wasn't a joke. She was
the reference. Again, as we have seen, comparing things to Nazi Germany, the Holocaust, or Hitler,
right,
does not go well for you.
I would actually watch a TV show where everybody who compared the COVID-19 stuff to Nazi Germany, if we had time machines, and we could just put them back there for a day. Just go to Nazi Germany for a day in the 40s, and then bring them back and do the interview and be like, do you still believe what you said?
Yeah.
I'm guessing, speaking of a billion out of a billion, all billion or million would be like, no.
That mask may not seem so restrictive anymore.
Not at all. God, come on, people. We'll take a break.
Question two.
Nope.
Question three.
Nope.
Yeah!
That was nice.
Coming up next.
Right, you're not here tomorrow, and so it's just getaway day.
I wanted to give everybody a poo-poo platter of sound.
You did. You accomplished your goal. Halfway through the show, that means halftime is next. Giants come back and win. Fred Warner signs a massive deal, and sad news, and no one, I think, is more sad than myself. Out of college football, we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about, if we have time, Aaron Rodgers being disrespected by the Packers. God, I love that. We'll do all that right after this.
Got something to say? Text the show at 916-339-1140.
The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Just found this out during the break. Yeah, yesterday, we didn't mention, yesterday would have been Robin Williams' 70th birthday. And I guess I'll kind of be a...
This is going to be a somber.
It'll be a somber segment anyways. Robin Williams passed away on my birthday. I'll never forget that. I wouldn't have forgotten it anyways, but the fact that it happened on August 11th, a few years back, he would have been 70. And I'm not going into a Robin eulogy because he was universally loved and we all know what we miss about him. I never knew this, and this is the type of nugget I should have known. You remember the scene in Good Will Hunting when he and Matt Damon are talking in his office about the idiosyncrasies of marriage?
Yes.
And he mentions his wife used to wake herself up in her sleep, mm-hmm, and blame the sound on him. And they just laughed, and you could not watch that scene and not laugh with them. Matt Damon's laugh was really infectious, and it was just a scene that I remember, the funniest scene of the movie, and a very poignant, funny scene. That scene was improvised.
That was improv?
In its entirety.
Really?
By Robin Williams.
That's why it was so damn funny.
I agree, and now knowing that, when I look back on now, because they included the clip, and now when I watch Matt Damon's reactions, you get it. Like, that was not an actor laugh. He was truly losing his mind.
I am sad that I picked today to leave the show.
Yeah.
Because I know in the coming next day or two,
uh-huh,
you're probably going to watch that movie again.
A billion times.
Over.
Yeah.
And sit there and be like, you know what? I think that was an improv scene. I think that was an improv. You're going to have like a checklist of, you're going to scene by scene of what was improv and what wasn't.
You're close. I will watch it again. But what I will do is I'm now going to take a deep dive and I'm going to Google Good Will Hunting improvisations and try to find, because a lot of his Dead Poet Society stuff was improv too.
Mm-hmm.
So I
wonder how much of Mrs. Doubtfire was improv.
Oh, I'll bet a lot. A lot of what Robin did was improv, which is reason number 10 billion why he was a genius.
The true, to me, the most talented performers, actors, actresses, uh-huh, whatever you want to call them, are improv.
Well, you look at, what's the Larry David show? Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
I say over half of that's improv. They just basically write out a guideline in the script.
I'm pretty sure It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is mainly improv, too.
Yeah. See,
League back in the day, I'm pretty sure was an improv show.
And it's like, how do you even decide what to pay the writers? They're just setting it up.
What are they just, here's a couple bullet points, have fun. Hey, you know what? That's the writing job I'd want. Here's a few bullet points, right. Go do your thing.
And by proxy, in comparison, the immense amount of talent it takes to improv something like that, just so you know, none of this show is improv.
No.
We do not have that kind of talent.
Well, as you know, the Kings send us, you know, our all scripts our every points. Morning. Same with the A's.
All right, save your letters. Niners, he's Giants, joking. Dodgers, halftime right now.
You.
You guys suck. That's how my coach used to get me fired up at halftime.
It's halftime. As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far and what we'll be talking about next.
1-1, Flores hits a high drive. Left field. This one is gone. And the Giants have gone ahead in the ninth inning.
And the Giants go ahead in the standings.
Oh, nice.
Two-game lead on the Dodgers. One game left today. Will the Giants take 3 of 4? No, they will split, of course. But a split in Los Angeles is a pretty, pretty good result. They are 2 up on the Dodgers, 5.5 up on the Padres.
I'm sad that I picked today to quit the show.
Yeah.
Because I can just imagine tomorrow when the Giants do win tonight, even though you've been trying to brace yourself for them losing.
They're going
to lose. What's going to be your take tomorrow when they take 3 of 4 from the Dodgers, when they have a 3-game lead in the NL West? Is it going to be like, What are we coming in with tomorrow? Just out of curiosity.
As a general rule, Jay, I don't address speculation.
Ah.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Okay.
And I don't believe we'll be coming to that bridge.
You.
The Giants have a 2-game lead on the Dodgers. They also have a 2-game lead on the best record in baseball, which also belongs to the Dodgers. 2.5 on both the White Sox.
Dodgers do not have the best record in baseball.
No,
sir.
I'm saying the Dodgers have the second best record in baseball. And they're 2 ahead of the Dodgers. For that, 2.5 ahead of the White Sox and the Red Sox.
From the text line earlier, though, isn't it great because we haven't had this in a while?
It is.
Where the Giants and Dodgers are both really freaking good. It makes baseball so much funner to watch in Northern California.
Funner even.
And some would say more fun than funner.
Rivalries make sports better. In every case. Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka.
Yep.
Yankees, Red Sox, Lakers, Kings.
Tom Brady and Mystery Team.
Marshawn Lynch and hockey pronunciation.
Whatever.
Wonderful rivalries. It makes everything better. By the way, great year for the Sox. The white and red. Oh. Both 2.5 back of the best record in baseball.
Although the White Sox have a starter retire midway through the game last night is interesting.
Uh-huh. Which is weird because, you know, generally, where's the joke here? Generally, it seems that Mercedes have a long career. There's a Mercedes joke in there that, like, they last a long time.
Remember when we told everyone the show wasn't improv? I think you just shown what bad improv is.
Number two.
That's why it's not improv.
And by the way, when I said number two, I wasn't referring to that improv.
No, that's my improv every morning.
No, Coach Bowden, first of all, he's a tremendous person, just a great person and a great example.
That was not the clip I wanted to play. I tried to do a no-look clip play. That's number three. Here's number two.
Goff in the shotgun. Malcolm Brown to his right. He'll take the snap from Blight. Goff back. Goff going to throw. It's intercepted by Fred Warner. He will run back the other way. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Big off-season business. Taken care of yesterday. Fred Warner gets a contract extension, the highest paid off-ball linebacker in NFL history. 5 years, $95 million. That $19 million average surpasses Bobby Wagner's $18 million with the Seahawks. The guaranteed amount, second biggest all-time, $40.5 million. That is second only to C.J. Mosley. The Jets is $51 million. Third-round pick since the 2018 draft, seventh in the NFL in tackles. One of two players with 250-plus solo tackles and 15-plus pass breakups in that time, along with Bobby Wagner. He joins George Kittle and Trent Williams in landing those record-setting deals with the Niners in the past year. And, you know, looking forward to Nick Bosa's record-setting deal, I'm sure, in 2 years. Again, provided he stays healthy, which, of course, I hope he will. Niners, I think, are a really good value bet to win the Super Bowl this year, if I was a gambling person.
Wow.
I will tell you this much.
You're usually way more pessimistic about your teams than that.
Yeah, not when it comes to the Niners. It's all about health. I think if the Niners are healthy, they're going to walk to the Super Bowl. They're going to walk through the NFC. Walk through the NFC if they're healthy. Now, will they beat the Chiefs? That's the question. And I think the Chiefs, again, barring Patrick Mahomes going down, they're going to walk to the Super Bowl.
What's a more intriguing Super Bowl rematch, Chiefs-Niners or Chiefs-Bucks?
Well, for me personally,
it's let's take our fandom out of it.
It's Chiefs Bucks because it's Bucks anyone. Bucks anyone is the most
because
intriguing.
Of Brady.
Because of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
That's more intriguing than any other Super Bowl matchup you can come up with.
Well, you're right.
For unless
Super Bowl
it was,
matchup.
Unless it was the Lions and Jaguars.
Yeah, that sucks. Right. But I'll tell you this. What's a more intriguing matchup? A Chiefs-Bucks Super Bowl or a Bucks-49ers NFC title game? Tom Brady going, you know, let's just say it's
that
in Santa Clara.
Would be, I think ultimately, I know what you're saying, and I'm kind of dodging the question here because I think the Super Bowl matchup is always going to be more intriguing. But I do think that a Bucks-Niners NFC championship would be the most intriguing you could get out of the NFC. I actually think it's not going to happen on the other side, but obviously the most intriguing Super Bowl matchup you could possibly come up with would be the Bucks and the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That would be the most intriguing. But the dark horse in this whole thing would be if Aaron Rodgers and the Packers somehow were able to make it with all the drama surrounding what's going on. And if that was not resolved, imagine the 2 weeks of media leading up to the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. That would be... And also, don't discount.
And I'm guessing the Chiefs on the AFC side is still the most intriguing matchup there for the Packers.
I think so. With apologies to the Bills, because you're going to get the Bills Mafia, and that's going to be an absolute blast. Plus, the Bills, you know, have that huge drought. Listen, the Cleveland Browns are on the clock here. It is not, and we're going to talk so much about the NFL and preview it. But
can't wait.
Listen, I'm with you. I'm so excited. When I see camps opening as it did for the Cowboys and Steelers yesterday. Mm-hmm. When I hear about the Hall of Fame game that we all watch a quarter of, when I start getting emails from friends trying to land on a draft date and discussing keepers and rule change proposals and all that, and when I start seeing previews of Hard Knocks, a weird thing happens, dude. I'm not making a joke or doing a bit. This actually happens to me. sounds so much better in my head. I start smelling barbecue. let me explain.
Which, by the way, if you have a gas grill cinch,
right,
promo code Dave.
Promo code Dave. It's not just about the football. Every Sunday during football season, almost every Sunday, I should say, I smoke some form of meat that I put on the grill sometime during the morning game. Unless it's a brisket, it's far earlier. I love football. I love watching it. Everything that we always talk about. But it's also those crisp fall mornings. It's being outside with my coffee, watching TV before everyone else gets up. It's the...
Wow, being outside watching TV. Listen to you.
I don't feel like having a TV outside is an ooh, look at me thing. The TVs are cheap now. You got a Fire Stick. Who cares?
Cheap.
Cheap relative. Dude, come on. To get any sort of decent TV, it used to be like at least $500, $600, $700, $800. Now, you can get a 41-inch, 42-inch TV online for $150, $200. And I'm not saying that's not money. It's money, but it's not like I'm hanging out in my second car.
Might as well be.
Going to my vacation home. I don't have any of that. I'm watching TV outside.
Does iPad count?
Yes.
That's the only way
of course
I can do
it. Does. And hearing the music leading up to the Red Zone countdown, watching the morning shows, waiting for whether it's Scott Hansen in my case or for you Sunday ticket holders, Andrew Siciliano to come on. And just the setup. I have Red Zone on my main TV with the sound up. And then I have the featured game on the other screen. And then when the Niners come on, I switch it. I have the Niners game on sound up and Red Zone on the other screen. And then when the afternoon game is over, Jay, that's when we eat dinner. And by the time we're done with dinner, it's Sunday Night Football. And then
an early dinner.
Well, it is. We will generally eat dinner between 4:30 and 5:30 on a Sunday. And then Sunday Night Football starts. And then we all sit around with our fat bellies and we watch whatever the game is. And then by the time the game is over, it's bedtime. And I know I get to go to work the next day and I have so much to talk about.
Yeah, this is one of the rare jobs where you look forward to coming in on a Monday yes. because it's usually our heaviest day
yes.
when it comes to topical stuff.
Yes.
I'm with you when it football for me, it's waking up because that is I will make sure to get up early, look over fantasy stuff, set lineups, cook breakfast,
yep.
get a cup of coffee.
Yep.
And it's I've gotten to the point where my relationship where my wonderful significant other understands Sundays are kind of during football season. Mm-hmm. We're not doing anything that day.
No, so you're a breakfast cooker Sunday morning.
Oh, I love Sunday morning okay. breakfast.
We do something. We always do, whether it's donuts, bagels, something simple and easy. I always get up really early, obviously, because of the job. And mm-hmm. I'll get something so you don't have to cook. Or my wife will cook breakfast. She doesn't care. But I'm planted outside. Everyone's going crazy on the YouTube chat right now. I don't know what an outdoor TV is.
The TV for outside.
I don't have it. I have a little gazebo I bought that's like a canvas tent, basically, in my backyard.
Your old studio.
Yeah.
The COVID studio, we called it.
That's exactly what it is. And I've got the TVs out there, little stands, and that's it. And they're regular old TVs. I have an old TV and a newer TV.
Yeah, what's
outside.
Your old TV? A 2020?
No. It's like, I don't know. Barely HD.
I love giving you know what, uh-huh. with this like one percenter talk because I see you get uncomfortable.
I do. I'm like,
no, guys, I promise you, having two TVs and a gazebo in your backyard is like everybody has one.
You know what? Just because, and then we're going to move on and talk about something that's not fun. I'm going to tell you right now exactly over the years what I've done. I'm just going to lay it bare. The gazebo I bought at Big Lots for $425 7 years ago. That's exactly what I paid. It was tough to set up. But
it's a car payment.
That's what we did. Each of the stands I got on Amazon for $75. They're regular old black rolling stands that you attach your TVs to.
Four iPad payments.
Each TV was somewhere between $200 and $250. And then No, it was.
I'm calling BS on the TV. How big are the TVs?
One is a 50, and the other is, I think, a 42. They're
you
not
You didn't
huge.
Get a 50-inch or $200. Yeah, I'm calling that out.
I think it was $285 at Fry's. It's
which no longer exists.
I know. It's a RCA, I think. And then the other one, I don't know, a Sharp, I think. Anyways. And then two Amazon Fire Sticks I got on Prime Day a long time ago for like $20 a piece. That's the whole setup.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's over $2,000.
No, it's not. It's under $1,000.
No, your setup's not under $1,000.
$450 for the gazebo.
Mm-hmm. $300 okay. a piece for the TVs. There's $1,050.
It wasn't $300 a piece. It was
$150 for the stands.
It was $900. $150 combined for the stands. It's
over $1,000.
Okay, $1,050. Okay, $1,100 was the setup.
This is what he used. This is what he used his other people's stimulus checks for.
I didn't get any stimulus checks.
I know.
I saved and built.
Wow, I didn't get any stimulus checks. Must be nice.
Well, there's two ways to get. There's two reasons you wouldn't get a stimulus check. There's,
you make too much money.
There's two. You make too much money, or you don't pay your taxes.
In your case, both.
I'm just saying, it's not. I never like to say it's not that much money because it's very relative. And $1,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's a lot of
Some
money.
Some of us peasants, man. That's...
And you have to understand, I have a wife who misers over anything I spend. But you know what? I did odd jobs.
Family show, we don't need to know about your odd jobs.
Let me tell you something. In my household, if I want something what my wife says is extra, I have to earn it some. I have to earn it some other way.
Wow. Making me just can't wait for to dive into marriage. That sounds
so like NBA
blissful.
Top Shot money. That's how I'd buy, you know, stuff like that. If I was into that, making me very uncomfortable. Can we bring down this segment, please?
Sure.
This is just my nervous way of not wanting to try to talk about what's next. Number three.
Halftime.
No, Coach Bowden. First of all, he's a tremendous person, just a great person and a great example as far as a person, and has a tremendous family. But Coach Bowden has been an example to all of us. You know, he's one of those guys that made us all want to coach when we were younger. You know, he's just a tremendous guy, and I don't think the game would be the same without him.
Bobby Bowden announcing yesterday. That he has a terminal illness. He did not disclose what it was, that he is at peace.
91 years old.
91. So, first, the the obvious bad is we're going to be without Bobby Bowden sooner rather than later. Most of you know, if you don't, my mom and dad met at Florida State. My dad proposed to my mother at Florida State by the fountain, big fountain up front. I can literally say I would not exist in this world if it was not for Florida State University. I was in a Florida State onesie as a child. I grew up during Bobby Bowden's era.
Were you conceived at Florida State?
No, I was conceived in Guam.
Oh, same thing.
I grew up my family is not a religious family. I've often said this. The closest thing we ever had to religion was Florida State football. Mm-hmm. My dad's brother went to the University of Florida, and so I was indoctrinated into the rivalry very early on. And before I had the Sacramento Kings, the Giants, the Niners, any of my other teams, it was – those are all the teams I root for, whereas Florida State football is
it's your first love.
It is my first love, and it's a family member. It's a family member. Can you block Chris Guerrero for about 10 minutes, please, just for saying that?
He spelled his name wrong, too.
Yeah. There was, I don't know if it's a urban legend or not, but as you know, as you may not know, Tallahassee is in the panhandle of Florida. That's part of the Bible Belt. And a paper there once did a poll in which Bobby Bowden was more popular than Jesus Christ.
Only in Florida, only by in the Florida. Way. Only in
Actually,
Florida.
Actually, I think it's a poll they've done from time to time around parts. And I know Tom Osborne also won that poll in Nebraska at one point. I don't know. I'm not going to do a eulogy for Bobby Bowden. I will say he came on these airwaves once to promote his book.
Mm-hmm.
It made me interviewing Will Clark.
I was just going to say, where does that compare with the Will Clark interview?
As nervous as I was with Will, my idol growing up as an athlete, with Bobby, it was my head was spinning and ringing the whole time. Because as a kid, you see these people on television, and I would see Bobby in his big hat and patrolling the sidelines with his headset and his sweater, and then he's got the two guards on either side of him when he's walking off the field, and you'd hear him talk. He wasn't real. He was a character I saw on television. So to then grow up and have a chance to talk to him about his book. And I remember I recorded the interview because of his schedule. So I had an opportunity not just to interview him, but then when the interview was over, then I really slobbered. And I had a chance in a very concise way to say, you mean so much to me. I love you so much. And not just Bobby, but his wife, Anne, and that whole family. Not perfect. There might be some people out there saying, well, what about Peter Warwick and the Free Shoes? What about the wins there? Listen, I'm not here to... Bobby Bowden was the guy whose name was in the phone book forever. Bobby Bowden was the guy that everyone in Tallahassee knows where he lives. It's not behind a gate. Bobby Bowden was the guy that people really, you can Google it, true story. People would leave helmets or different paraphernalia on his front step, and a day or two later it would be back on the front step with his signature on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just an old school throwback individual. I am not sad or heartbroken necessarily because Bobby is going to be leaving us soon. He's 91, and on I believe today would have been Alex Trebek's birthday.
Really? I did not.
Honestly, it either would have been Alex's birthday. I should know this off the top of my head. It would have either been his birthday or has it been a year? It hasn't been since he passed. Okay, so today would have been his birthday.
I don't think it has.
And much like with Alex, it was bittersweet. Obviously bitter because a wonderful human being is passing. But with Bobby, what gives me a little some peace over it, 91, he didn't get cheated. He's left a legacy, not just in football, but his family.
Trebek would have been 81 today.
Would have been 81 today. Bobby, the Bowden dynasty will go on. When he does pass, I imagine it'll be with a smile on his face because that was a life well lived. And I also think it's a little bit of a blessing. Maybe some people would disagree with this, but to be 91 years old and know that there's a timeline on you now, and to have that opportunity to be able to say goodbye to all the people you want to say the things you didn't have a chance to say, to close the loop, if you will, Bobby deserves that.
Sure.
And it reminds us of our own mortality when we lose immortals.
Yeah.
Whether it's an older immortal like Bobby or when Kobe passed.
It's the one part of growing up that I have found sucks more than anything is watching your heroes get old.
And eventually pass.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. Bobby Bowden, we'll obviously talk more at length eventually, and hopefully that day is long, long away. But Bobby Bowden announcing he has a terminal illness. The clock is on for him. And thoughts and prayers and everything else appropriate with the Bowden family. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, Sam Amick will join us from The Athletic. Second time this week, because we missed Sam last week. We will wrap up that finals. We'll get his perspective as an MVP voter and so much more. Sam joins us next.